This is Optimal Finance Daily, episode 1897. I don't want my kids to be crushed by student loans. Do you? By Michael Smith with financialfinesse.com. And I'm your host and personal finance enthusiast, Diana Merriam. Now we're going to get right to today's post as we optimize your life. I don't want my kids to be crushed by student loans. Do you? By Michael Smith with financialfinesse.com. I read this article titled, "This Bright-Eyed Young Man Was Utterly Demolished by Student Loans," about, can you guess, a guy who has experienced significant financial, personal, and emotional hardship because of the financial responsibility that he took on with significant student loan debt. I wish this were an isolated incident, but based on some meetings I've had with young people recently, I'd be lying if I said this isn't becoming increasingly more common. Maybe not to the extreme that Nick is experiencing, but there's a growing number of young people who may not be finished with paying off student loans until they're closer to Social Security than college. What can be done about this problem? What can you do if you're a student thinking about college or a parent of a child considering college? There are a lot of reasons for the massive explosion of student loan debt in this country, and I won't make this blog about how I'd fix the broader societal or legislative problem. Although I do have a few ideas, so Congress, if you're listening. But there are things that can be done at the individual level that can minimize the long-term damage that student loans can create in one's budget. Read the article I mentioned, and you'll see the most extreme case I've ever seen of student loans playing a central role in the financial difficulties of a person. The reason there's an article about him, and he's a part of a documentary about student loans, is that he's an outlier. His situation is extreme. While we can learn from extreme cases, I think we can learn more from people who are becoming the new normal. Over the last few months, I've seen a lot of people who have graduated from college within the last 10 years and have student loan debt as a big item in their budget. It's becoming increasingly common for me to see people who are paying more each month in student loan payments than they are for rent. It's very common for graduates to share an apartment or a house with multiple friends to have an affordable rent so they can pay back their loans. Frugality for these people is required because of the enormous monthly financial burden of student loans. Most of them will be paying student loan payments well into their 40s that are in the neighborhood of what I paid for my first mortgage. How will they buy a house? How will they save for retirement? If they have kids, how will they save for those expenses? The answers are troubling. If there are lessons to be learned, I want to learn them. I have 3 kids who are rapidly approaching college age. I swear it feels like they were born just yesterday, but 2 of them are teenagers now. How can they not be in the position of the people I'm seeing far too often now? Here's my plan and some topics that I've discussed or will in the future with my kids. Number 1. Save, save, save. I'm contributing as much as I can without being detrimental to my retirement to 529 plans. Having a pool of funds for educational expenses is an important part of my plan. Will it be enough? Probably not. So there needs to be other parts of the plan. Number 2, make a well-informed school selection. There are some parents who want their children to go to the school of their choice, regardless of cost. I am not one of those parents. Sure, looking at Pepperdine or Stanford or Yale or Duke is nice, but is it realistic? First, there are the hurdles of getting accepted. Then the cost is a major issue. Is there a benefit for paying $60,000 per year that you can't get by paying $5,000 to $10,000? This is the conversation I have had and will have again with my daughter. She wants to be a teacher. Her starting salary will be the same regardless of the college name on her diploma. Why overpay now if there's not going to be a tangible benefit later? This all comes down to the choice of school, public versus private, in-state versus out-of-state. What about community college for the first 2 years? These are all decision points that can reduce the financial burden now and not drag down a young graduate's financial life for decades after graduation. And number three, work. I met someone recently who decided to work for a few years before entering college. She's working at an entry-level job now and is taking one or two classes per semester at a local college. The good news for her? Her company has a tuition reimbursement plan. She was unsure about what she wanted to do with her life. She had no true career path upon graduation. So instead of starting a career, she got a job and is living at home with her parents and saving most of her income. She figures that after 2 years, she'll have earned 1 year's worth of college credits and will have saved enough money to pay for a year or more. Her tuition reimbursement program is important, and she's learning about potential career paths within her company. She's taking a non-traditional path, but it's working for her. If my sons don't have a solid grasp on what they'd like to do as a career when they're a little older, we may discuss this option. When I talk to the young graduates who come in to talk to me about the level of financial stress that their student loans are creating, a part of me can't help but think of my own kids. I don't want them to talk to a financial planner about how stressed they are within a few years of graduation. I'm having conversations like that far too frequently right now. You just listened to the post titled, "I Don't Want My Kids to Be Crushed by Student Loans, Do You?" by Michael Smith with financialfinesse.com. Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear, upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable. I have such mixed feelings about student loan debt. On the one side, there are clearly tons of benefits to getting an education. But on the other side, for many, the return on investment for that college degree just isn't there. If you're going to school to be a lawyer or a doctor, you're fairly certain that you will enjoy it and actually use your degree. And there's a very clear return on investment that can justify the debt. That makes sense to me. But looking at some of the stats around how this actually pans out for people is concerning. According to Mark Kantrowitz, who wrote the book titled, "Who Graduates from College, Who Doesn't?" less than half of college graduates graduate on time. Even after 6 years, less than 60% of students at four-year colleges have earned a bachelor's degree. The track record for community colleges is even worse, with less than 20% of community college students earning an associate's degree or certificate. I believe this demonstrates how many people take on student loan debt with the best of intentions, but for likely a variety of reasons, it doesn't work out as they hoped. Maybe life circumstances causes them to drop out, or they realize that their area of study just wasn't a good fit. But now they have all that debt and no degree to even attempt to secure the higher paid job they assumed would help pay off the debt. And according to an analysis of U.S. Census Bureau of Labor Statistics and National Center for Education Statistics data for the years 1980 to 2019, by Georgetown University researchers, college costs have increased by 169% over the past four decades, while earnings for workers between the ages of 22 and 27 have increased by just 19%. It makes logical sense that a degree will lead to a higher paying job to justify the cost of that degree. But many people graduate from school and are met with the harsh reality of stagnating wages. Furthermore, a Finder.com survey found that nearly 40% of people who earn a college degree have doubts it was worth it. Of this group, 40% say it's because they aren't using their degree, and 28% say it's because they can't find a job in their field. Many things we decide to do have terrible odds. Marriage has a 50% chance of divorce, and the overwhelming majority of entrepreneurs fail. It doesn't mean you shouldn't get married, start a business, or go to college. But I do think we should enter into these decisions with eyes wide open and continually question our assumptions. And that will do it for today. Have a great day and start to your weekend. Thank you for listening, and I'll be back here reading to you tomorrow, where your optimal life awaits.